أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We come to the fifth sermon of Nahj al-Balagha. As I said, the opening sermons are on more historical issues. The Khutbah Shakhshakiyya was about a brief history of what happened after the Prophet. Then there was another Khutbah number 5, which went before this and talked about the encounter with Talha and Zubayr. Now here it then talks about the beginning of the events which happened after the Prophet, peace be on him. Now, a very amazing thing happened at the beginning, and that was, of course, some of the Muhajirun and Ansar, they did not accept the bay'ah of Abu Bakr. So what they did, they went to Ali and they wanted to ask what we shall do. Now, two of very most prominent people of Quraysh came to Ali. One was Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, the other was Abu Sufyan, who had great power still in Mecca, and also great number of soldiers he could muster if he wanted to wage a war. So they came to Ali ibn Abi Talib and they told him that why should we not rise? We have enough people and we can fight back against this tyranny which has happened and the usurpation of your rights. So here Sharif al-Razi tells us, puts us in the context of the khutbah. He says, وَمِنْ كَلَامٍ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And one of his words, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, was his features. لَمَّا قُبِضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. When the Prophet was taken by Allah, when he passed away, وَخَاطَبَهُ الْعَبَّاسِ وَأَبُو سُفْيَانِ بْنِ حَارِثِ أَنْ يُبَايَعَ لَهُ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ. When Abbas and Abu Sufyan suggested to him that they would make bay'ah with him. Now of course they said many things. I will mention that later on, what they said and what Amir al-Mu'min had. This is his answer. This khutbah or this kalam is the answer of Amir al-Mu'min to Abbas and Abu Sufyan. However, what they said to Amir al-Mu'min, I will discuss it later. So when they came to him and they said that we pay allegiance to you, we do bay'ah with you, and Abu Sufyan actually said, just signal and I will fill Medina with cavalry and with infantry. I will fill up Medina with soldiers and we can have a good fight. There is no chance for them to win. So it was a very tempting suggestion. Let's fight. Let's fight back against what has happened. Now, what Amir al-Mu'minin says, Ayyuhan Nas. Of course, his addressee were not only Abbas and Abu Sufyan. As I said, a great number of people had gathered in his house and they didn't know what to do. And now, then suddenly they were faced with this very tempting suggestion of Abu Sufyan and of course Abbas, who was the eldest of Banu Hashim at that time, and they were agitated a little bit. They were somehow excited about the suggestion, about the offer. So they were all looking to Ali what the answer would be. What would be the answer? Now he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ شُقُّوا أَمْوَاجَ الْفِتَنِ بِالسُّفُنِ النَّجَامِ. Steer clear through the waves of mischief by ships and boats of deliverance and safety. شُقُّوا أَمْوَاجَ الْفِتَنِ, meaning that we are now in the midst of waves of fitna. What has happened now after the Prophet? We are in fitna, of course. So he says, I'm not happy with what has happened. This is the fitna. But we are in waves of this fitna. And you have to somehow steer clear of this with both of deliverance and safety. وَعَرَّجُوا عَنْ طَرِيقِ الْمُنَافَرَةِ. This is very beautiful. The first thing Amir al-Mu'minin said, keep away from fighting. The very categorical sentence, turn away from the path of fighting and dissension. This is not good that we fight immediately after the Prophet for, of course, his successorship. وَعَرَّجُوا عَنْ طَرِيقِ الْمُنَافَرَةِ وَضَعُوا فِي جَانَ الْمُنَافَرَةِ and put down the crowns of boasting and pride. Put it down. Because what Abu Sufyan said that now the smallest clans of Quraysh tribe like Taym and Adi, which were the tribes of Umar and Abu Bakr, he said the smallest clans of this tribe, the smallest branches of Quraysh is taking this Khilafah for themselves. This is not something that we can ever accept. Of course, Abu Sufyan was very close to Banu Hashim themselves, and a very flourishing and respectful clan inside the tribe of Quraysh. So he said, we can never accept that this Taym and Adi are going and putting us under their helm and their rulership. So Amir al-Mu'minin says, ذَعُوا تِجَانَ الْمُفَاخَرَةِ. Put down the crowns of pride. This is not a place that we have to fight for pride or something like that. أَفْلَحَ مَنْ نَهَضَ بِجَنَاحٍ أَوْ اسْتَسْلَمَ فَأَرَاهُ. Now, imagine Abu Sufyan is an old man. Abbas is an old man, or both of them. And Ali is only 33 years old. Now, the way he speaks, of course Abbas knows he has no chance for Khilafah, because he was uncle of the Prophet, certainly he could have said that I will be the Khalif, if anyone of the relatives of the Prophet would be me. Abu Sufyan could have no claim, of course, over this. So they knew the best person and someone whom people will accept is Ali, the young Ali, someone like him. And of course, the way he speaks is full of prudence, politics, understanding of situation, and of course, care and consideration for the Ummah on the whole. So it says, what he says here, which has become a very famous Arab parable actually, أَفْلَحَ مَنْ نَحَذَ بِجَنَاحٍ أَوْ اسْتَسْلَمَ فَأَرَاهُ. He prosperous is he who rises with wings. It means he who has power. You say that you have power, but this is a war of attrition, certainly. If you want to go into war, it's war of attrition. There is no winner coming out of this. So we have no wing, we have no power to go to fight now. So anyone who goes to fight with wings is prosperous. Or if he cannot do that, أَوَسْتَسْلَمَ فَأَرَامَ, or else he remains peaceful and leaves others in peace. If we fight now, what we do, many people get killed, Islam would disappear, the power of Islam would go, because that would become a war of attrition, there would be a tribal war. And then you could imagine, inside Medina there were different clans, outside Medina different tribes would have actually gathered around different clans of Medina, and what type of war after the Prophet would have been spread in all Arabian subcontinent. So the most prudent decision here, when people came to Ali immediately after the Bay'ah of Abu Bakr, the most prudent answer was that we have no power, don't put yourself and others in trouble. So أَفْلَحَ مَنْ نَحَذَ بِجَنَاحٍ أَوْ اسْتَسْلَمَ فَأَرَاهُ, or else he remains peaceful and leaves others in peace. هذا ماء آجن. This is a turbid water. What he means by this, of course, not khilafah, because then he accepted khilafah himself. And he said that this is my right. What he means by هذا ماء آجن means this incident, what has happened, the khilafah which is taken, the power that you are fighting for. Of course, Abu Sufyan was not fighting for Islam, he was fighting for his own, he was worried for his own pride. And he didn't imagine that this would happen someday, that people of that clan or that sub-branch of Quraysh would take power in Quraysh, which was quite improbable. So he says that, leave this aside, this is muddy water. هذا ماء آجن ولقمة يغص بها آكلها. And it is a morsel that would suffocate the eater, the one who eats it. Either on the Day of Judgment or on this day, if you want to take this morsel, you will become suffocated. What this shows is that the young Ali at that time was completely aware of the power structure inside Medina and outside Medina, and what would happen if he had decided to wage a war. He didn't lack soldiers, of course. There were many soldiers that could fight for him, but not soldiers of Islam, certainly. Soldiers, some of whom were from Muhajirun and Ansar, but the majority would have been soldiers of Abu Sufyan coming in, and soldiers of other tribes coming for the booties of this war. So he said, this is not our war, certainly, not something that I'm going to fight it out. So, وَلُقْمَةٌ يَغُصُّ بِهَا عَاكِلُهَا وَمُجْتَنِ السَّمَرَةِ لِغَيْرِ وَقْتِ إِنَاهَا كَزَّارِهِ بِغَيْرِ أَرْضِهِ. And one who plucks fruits before ripening is like one who cultivated in another's field. It would not come to them, certainly. If you cultivate something in another person's field, you cannot get it but by trouble. And he says, this is not the time that we can claim this back. This is not our time yet. Now, of course, Sharif al-Rawi has omitted some parts of this khutbah because he was not sure whether these are additions to the khutbah or they are words of Ali alayhi salam, peace be on him. So, there is a discontinuation somewhere in the khutbah, but it shows, I mean, the way the khutbah goes shows that Ali said this at the end of all these discussions. Because people now told him, you are frightened. You were the man of war and all these things. Now you are frightened. You say that this is not our war. We cannot succeed. You are frightened of death. And others, of course, would have accused him that he's after the khilafah and power. So he said to himself, فَإِنْ أَقُلْ يَقُولُ حَرَسَ عَلَى الْمُلْكِ وَإِنْ أَسْكُتْ يَقُولُ جَزَعَ مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. If I speak, they would call me greedy towards power. That I am greedy for power, that's why I'm speaking, I'm talking to people about this issue. And if I keep quiet, they say that you are frightened of death. And the position, of course, was a very hard position. As in Sheikh Shaqiyya, we had that Amir al-Mu'mineen said, فَتَفِقْتُ أَرْتَعِيَ بَيْنَ أَنْ أَصُولَ بِيَدٍ جَذَّاءٍ أَوْ أَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ تَخْلِطٍ عَمْيَاءٍ. I pondered deeply whether I should stand and fight with a cut off hand, because I didn't have sincere followers to fight for me, or I wait over this dark period and wait for it to pass. And then he says, then I decided that no, waiting and having patience would be better. So here as well, you would see the type of trouble that he was in, and the type of attitude that people would have taken regarding any decision that he would have made. So he says, فَإِنْ أقول يقول حرس على المول. If I say anything, they say that he is greedy for power. وإن أسكت يقول جزع من الموت. And if I keep quiet, they say he is frightened of death. حيهات بعد اللحية والتي. Is far off after all those things, after my history that you know about. So, it is a pity that after all the ups and downs here, بعد اللتاء والتي he has translated, it's a pity that after all the ups and downs I have been through, now they take such a thing from me. Meaning that you know I have never been afraid of death. You shouldn't talk about me like that. Wallah, then he says, he mentions a statement about his own attitude towards death. Wallah, لابن أبي طالب آنس بالموت من الطفل بثدي أمه. By Allah, I swear by Allah, the son of Abu Talib is more familiar with death than an infant with the breast of its mother. Meaning how an infant would return to the breast of its mother to be fed and to be satiated. My familiarity with death, my closeness with death, or my attitude towards death is even closer than a child, a baby towards the breast of its mother. Wallah, labna abi talib, anasu bil mawti min al-qasli bifadi umme, balin damajtu ala maknoon ilmin, law buhtu bihi, لَذْتَرَبْتُمْ اِذْتَرَابَ الْعَرْشِيَّةِ فِي الطَّوِيِّ الْبَعِيدِ. However, I keep quiet because I have come to a knowledge. I have been exposed to a knowledge that if I reveal it to you, you would be shaken. You would be shaken from fear. If I disclose it to you, you will start trembling like ropes in deep wells. Tawi were those wells which were somehow made with stones. The round which the walls of the well were made by stone, and it was a special type of well that it has a name in Arabic called Tawil. Now, when they wanted to put the bucket into water and pull it off, usually, maybe you have seen this, certainly back in your homes, and I have seen that as well. The rope would shake very quickly when the bucket is full of water and you want to bring it up. It says, if I disclose the knowledge that I have been exposed to, you will tremble and shake like that rope which brings the bucket up. Of course, it's a very nice allegory mentioned here. But what we get from this is that Amir al-Mu'mineen knows about all these things and where the direction of the Ummah is going to. Like what the Prophet, of course, knew and saw in his dream that Banu Umayyah will come, and all these things. He says, I have been exposed to a knowledge that if I disclose it, then you will tremble. You don't know what is coming after all these things. And what Allah has actually destined for the Ummah as a fitna. Now, I say as a fitna because Allah says that even after Musa, we have somehow exposed Banu Israel to some fitna. Test. We wanted to test them. And why they failed in the test? Because they thought that there would be never a test for them. Because they were the chosen Ummah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They felt that there will never be a test there. So, as the Quran says, وَزَعَمُوا أَلَّا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ. They thought there would be no test afterwards. They have been given the Bible, Torah, they read it, they worship, they go close to Allah, they thought there's no fitna, no test. وزعموا أن لا تكون فتنة فعموا وصموا. And they went blind and deaf for that purpose. Now, here of course, for Islam, there was a fitna as well. As is mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ. Because Prophet saw in his dream that monkeys were going off his pulpit. And it was somehow explained or construed as the Banu Umayyah coming to power. Now, Allah says that وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ. The dream you saw is a fitna, is a test coming for the people. Now, of course, this knowledge was given to the Prophet, and the same knowledge Prophet conveyed to Ali, peace be upon him. So he said, I am exposed to a knowledge that if you know what this direct, this Ummah is moving towards, what's the target, what is it heading towards, so you will shake and tremble inside yourself. So now he quiets. So this is a beautiful piece of history that which is reported from Ali alayhi salam in response to the offer of Abbas and Abu Sufyan. Now, if you want to go to a bit of history in this incident, as is mentioned by Ibn Abi al-Hadith. You know, I use Ibn Abi al-Hadith because it's a Sunni source. I don't want to use Shia sources here because this is a history which is somehow is a muddy type of history. We better use a Sunni source rather than a Shia source. Now, he says that لَمَّا قُبِضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَالِهِ, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was taken, passed away, and وَاشْتَغَلَ عَلِيٌّ بِغُسْلِهِ وَدَفْنِهِ. Ali was engaged with doing the ghusl and burial of the Prophet. وَبُوِيَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. While he was actually busy with that, the bay'ah with Abu Bakr happened. خَلَى الزُّبَيْرِ وَأَبُو سُفْيَانِ وَجَمَاعَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ بِعَبَّاسِ وَعَلِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لِإِجَالَةِ الرَّعِي. Zubair, Abu Sufyan, and a group of Muhajirun, they went to Abbas and Ali to consult, to discuss what to do. Because what now the bay'ah there, they didn't know what to, whether they have to follow, whether they shouldn't follow. So they takallamu bikalamin yaqtazil istinhada wa tahayyij. They spoke with a type of tone which implied uprising, opposition, struggle, resistance. فقال الأباس رضي الله عنه. Abbas said, okay, we heard what you said, those group of Muhajirun, Zubair and others, we heard what you said, we will think about it. And we will let you know whether we want to fight or we don't want to fight. Now, at that point, Ali alayhi salam said this khutbah, that shuqu amwaj al-fitan bisufun al-najat. This is the instance where Ali actually had this khutbah mentioned. Now, Bara' bin Azib, one of the famous companions of Prophet, he mentions as well, lam azal libani Hashim. Right from the beginning, I was on the side of Banu Hashim. Muhibban, I like Banu Hashim, because Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet himself were from Banu Hashim. When Prophet passed away, خِفْتُ أَن تَتَمَالَ قُرَيْشِ عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِ هَذَا الْأَمْرَانِ. When Prophet passed away, I fear that Quraysh now wants to take this issue of ruling and walaya and khilafah out of Banu Hashim. So, although I was very sad because of the demise of the Prophet, I was going to Banu Hashim, who were in the hujra of the Prophet, busy with the ghusl and burial issues, and looking at the people who were there. وَأَتَفَقَّدُ وُجُوهَ قُرَيْشِ. to see which man of Quraysh is here present, which man is not present, because I was fearful that something might immediately happen, things go out of hand. And while I was looking, فَأَنَّ كَذَلِكْ إِذْ فَقَدْتُ أَبَا بَكْرَ وَأُمَرْ I saw Abu Bakr and Umar are not there. So I felt worried. وَإِذَا قَائِلٌ يَقُولُ And I asked people, where is Abu Bakr, where is Umar? Why they are not here present for the ghusl of the Prophet? Someone told me they are in Saqifah Bani Sa'id. And then, not long past, someone else told me that قَدْ بُوِيَ أَبُو بَكْرِ Abu Bakr has now been given the bay'ah, finished. So, I rushed, hurried towards Abu Bakr. No, I rushed out to see what has happened. وَإِذَا أَنَا بِأَبِي بَكْرِ قَدْ أَقْبَلْ Then I saw Abu Bakr is coming. And with him were Umar and Abu Ubaidah وَجَمَاعَةٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّقِيفَةِ And a group of people from أصحاب السقيفة. And what they were doing, they were taking people and they were bringing them before Abu Bakr. They took their hands, they made their hands to touch the hand of Abu Bakr and left them. And they said, this is your bay'ah. So, what they did, so, لَا يَمُرُّونَ بِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا خَبَطُوحَ They took him out of their way. وَقَدَّمُوهُ They brought it before Abu Bakr. فَمَدُّوا يَدَى They took their hands. فَمَسَهُوهَ عَلَى يَدَى أَبِي بَكْرٍ And they rubbed it to the hand of Abu Bakr to be their bay'ah. شَاءَ ذَلِكَ أَوْ أَبَى They wanted or they didn't want. Now, as I said, this is of course not our report. This is a report of Bara' ibn Azib from Ibn Abi al-Hadid. فَأَنْكَرَتْ أَقْلِي Now, I said, this is not right. This cannot be right. This type of bid'ah cannot be right. My reasoning was denying such a thing. وَخَرَجْتُ أَشْتَدُّ حَتَّى انْتَهَيْتُ إِلَى بَنِي هَاشِمْ Now, I rushed towards Banu Hashim again, towards the house of the Prophet, towards the houses of Banu Hashim, and وَالْبَابُ مُغْلَقٌ their door was locked, And I started to knock very hard and strongly. And I was shouting, قَدْ بَايَ النَّاسِ لَأَبِي بَكْرِ بْنَ أَبِي قُحَافَ People have given bay'ah to Abu Bakr. Abbas said, may their hands be broken. People did not obey me. I had told you what to do. Abbas probably wanted a fight to happen. And of course Ali, who was the only one who people would have given him bay'ah from Banu Hashim, he said no. And now Abbas became angry. He said, I told you what to do, you did not agree. Then Bara said, وَرَأَيْتُ فِي اللَّيْلِ الْمِقْدَادِ وَسَلْمَانِ وَأَبَا ذَرَ I saw on the night, Miqdad, Salman, and Abu Dhar, wa Ubadah ibn Samit, wa ibn Tayhan, wa Hudhayfa, wa Ammar. Wa hum yuriduna an yu'idu al-am shura bayna al-muhajirin. They were consulting, and they were saying, the solution is not, of course, fighting. We have to say, we don't accept this bay'ah. Let's have another shura and decide. This is what they wanted to do. Salman and Abu Dhar and Hudhayfa and Ammar, they said, we have another shura and we decide about it. And this, of course, reached Umar and Abu Bakr. So they became very angry. They sent to Abu Ubaidah and Mughirah ibn Shu'bah and they said, what should we do? If they take Muhajirun and Ansar, and if they agree, then what would be the solution? Now, what the solution was, they told, we go to Abbas. We cannot approach Ali, of course. He's not accepting anything from us. We go to Abbas. And we tell him, why are you somehow motivating people against us? If you want a share of this, we give you. To you and to your children. So, this is what they did. They went to Abbas, they started to talk to him with very soft language, Abu Bakr, we know that you are uncle of the Prophet, we know you are respected, and we did this for the good of the Ummah. If you want a share of this, we give you. Now, course, Abu Bakr spoke a very soft language. فَأْتَرَضَ كَلَامَهُ عُمَرٌ. Now, Umar interrupted. وَخَرَجَ إِلَى مَذْهَبِهِ فِي الْخُشُونَ وَالْوَعِيدِ وَأَتْيَانِ الْأَمْ مِنْ أَسْأَبِ جَهَاتِ. This is interesting that Ibn Abi al-Hadid knows the characteristics of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He says that, now, he started to speak according to his own temperament, with harshness, with threatening, and always doing things from the most difficult door, going through the most difficult door. So he said that you shouldn't think that we have come to you because we need you. But we didn't want that the Muslimun say would tell us that you have ignored Banu Hashim, you haven't given anything to them. However, Abbas of course rejected the offer. And then Ali as well rejected the offer of Abbas and Abu Sufyan. Then there are things about what Abu Sufyan said, which I mentioned that. Now, two other sentences before I finish. He says that the father of Abu Bakr, Abu Quhafa, because it was Abu Bakr ibn Abu Quhafa, ibn Abu Quhafa. The father of Abu Bakr was very surprised when people paid allegiance to his son. And people came to him, وَقِيلَ لَأَبِي قُحَافَ يَوْمَ وَلَّ الْأَمْرَ إِبْنُهُ. When the day his son had taken the position of Wilaya and Khilafah, they came to Abu Qahafa to congratulate him. And they said, قَدْ وَلَّ إِبْنُكَ الْخِلَافَ. Now, Khilafah has come to your son. He was of course a very old man. He, upon hearing this, فَقَرْعَ قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزُعُ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And this is very interesting because it means that Allah has taken mulk from the family of the Prophet and given the mulk to his family. This is a misplaced verse mentioned here. Then he said, why did they give khilafah to my son? Because he was very surprised. He said, ثُمَّ قَالْ لَمَا مَلُّهُ. Why did they give khilafah to my son? قَالُوا لَسَنِّهِ. He said, because of his old age. You know, one of the justification was that he was the elder companion, one of the elder companions of the Prophet. قَالُوا لَسَنِّهِ. So he said, قَالَ أَنَا أَسَنُّ مَنِ. He said, I'm older than him. Why they don't give it to me? Why they give it to my son? And also, when this fight was going between Abu Sufyan and Abu Bakr, he said that أَغْلَذَ لَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. At the end, Abu Bakr became angry, and he started to speak very harshly, using bad language with Abu Sufyan. His father, Abu Quhafa, said, يَا بُنَيَّ أَتَقُولُ هَذَا لِأَبِي سُفْيَانَ شَيْخِ الْبَطْحَةِ. Do you say such a thing to Abu Sufyan, who is the master of Mecca, Shaykh al-Batha? I mean, why he has brought all this to bring the mentality of Abu Quhafa? Still thinks that Abu Sufyan is master of Mecca, master of Batha. And he said, my son, why do you speak to the master of Mecca like this? قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَ رَفَعَ بِالْإِسْلَامِ بُيُوتًا وَوَضَعَ بُيُوتًا. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Islam has raised high some of the houses of Muslimun and has humiliated others, and Abu Sufyan is humiliated. فَكَانَ مِمَّا رُفِعْ بَيْتُكَ يَا أَبَتِ. Now our house, our base, our family now has been raised to the position of power and rulership. Now, I'm not sure why Ibn Abi al-Hadid has chosen these bits of history, because this is of course selection of history he has chosen to bring here. The sayings of Abu Quhafa, of Abu Sufyan, of Abu Bakr, he wants to show that what was the mentality of people. I mean, if a person like Abu Quhafa, father of Abu Bakr, still was thinking of Abu Sufyan as master of Mecca, I mean, you can imagine what other people thought. And how then Ali could come and say, okay, I fight with the help of these people to take back the Khilafah. In fact, he is explaining why Amirul Mu'mineen said that I have no wing to fight with, to fly with. So the best thing is that I rest and let other people rest. I am at ease now, I let other people to be at ease. It's not the time for me. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi.
We'll now have the time for questions. Inshallah, there should be a mic available on the ladies, and Sheikh will repeat the questions about an answer. So, if the ladies have any questions.
Apparently, this is men's business.
Sheikh, I was wondering that suppose we normally had had the chance to rule Muslims from the beginning, because when you look at his life, 4 years of his ruling, he had so much difficulties and he was then martyred. But if he had been given that chance at the beginning, from the beginning, then the period of 25 years which he got, he wouldn't have got that chance of to be within the people and spread the correct Islam. So, in a way, I think it was better the way it happened.
So, you are somehow endorsing what God has planned?
No. You see, like,
you are not.
I don't know what you mean by endorsing, but let's look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for example.
Yeah.
We all mourn and we commemorate the martyrdom, but in the end, the result is that you know that up to the end of the Qiyamah, with all that we said, you know that if Imam Hussein hadn't stood up, that Islam, what is now there, is what is ever left of the true Islam, wouldn't have been left as true Islam. So, what if Imam, when he got the chance of the 25 years period, he wouldn't have got that chance. Maybe he may have been martyred in the first few years of his life. Yeah.
Well, we can never imagine what course the history would have taken if even the smallest factor would have changed place or something like that. It's very difficult to speculate. So I don't think we could ever think or imagine what would have happened if, for example, Amir al-Mu'mineen would have taken the right in the beginning or something like that. Very difficult. Sorry, the question was that if Amir al-Mu'mineen had taken Khilafah right from the beginning, he wouldn't have the chance to live among the people and spread Islam right from the beginning after the demise of the Prophet. So maybe this was better for him to be among the people rather than being a caliph.
Should we ask the
question? Yes.
You know, Hadith is Sahih, and presumably he's respected by Muslims as an authentic person.
Mm.
And the way he's written about the first two Khalifas, I still don't understand how they can attribute so much praise to him. I mean, he's making that seem so negative and so normal, like the rest of us. Why do they attribute such high qualities to him? From where?
So please, you yourself repeat the question now that you have the mic.
Okay, if Ibn Hadid is such a renowned scholar and the Sunnis presumably have a lot of respect for him, why do they attribute so much respect to the two Khalifas when Ibn Hadid himself does not do that? And in fact, he makes them in such a negative light.
Mm-hmm. You see, there is a dilemma here when we go to the history and when we go to the books of Hadith. In the books of hadith, you see rawayat from the Prophet, peace be upon him, in praise of Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, very much. And it is of course amazing. I mean, why Prophet should have praised this much Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman? In retrospect, when we look, it's very natural, because these were very prominent people now after the Prophet, but they were not as prominent, more prominent than others before becoming caliph. So it gives some sort of suspicion that why only these people are singled out for praise by the Prophet, peace be on him. However, it's there. In books of hadith, there are lots of praise about Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. You have these traditions about Umar that many verses of the Quran were revealed because Umar had suggested something. And Allah had actually agreed with Umar and had revealed verses of the Quran. Even in some cases, Prophet disagreed with Umar, but the verses were revealed afterwards confirming what Umar said, for example. We have lots of these ahadith. When we come to history, of course, history is very different. History is an analysis of what went, and is somehow the best judge as well, that by which we can judge people. Because by ahadith, it's a hadith reported from the Prophet. But history are events that you can never deny. So even Ibn Abi al-Hadid, when he comes to the description of Umar and Abu Bakr, he goes to those ahadith. And he says, okay, these are praises by the Prophet. When he comes to history, he says, okay, there was ikhtilaf. There was disagreement among companions. And this is what Abu Bakr did, this is what Umar did, this is what Ali did, for example. And he says, I refrain from judging. As most Sunni scholars say, they say, we are not gone. We cannot judge these people. And there are lots of ahadith from the Prophet who say that my companions are the best. My qarn is the best qarn. It means my generation is the best generation. My companions are like stars. Any one of them you follow, you are guided. So then they say, okay, this means that we shouldn't judge them. We leave the judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the history is so clear that when they come to historical analysis, they cannot deny what went on at the beginning.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaykum
as-salam. I have a question to share. You know, when there were some people were opposing the choice of Abu Bakr, among these, wasn't there anyone who remembered the incident that Sahifa quoted it? Because so many people were present, was this ever brought in picture? or the history doesn't record it at all?
Yeah, I just read one incident of that recording from Bara ibn Azim, who had reported what happened and who were the people who opposed, who were the people who agreed, and how the bay'ah was taken. This is only one instance. There are many, many other instances of recording and reporting what went on and what happened in Saqifah.
Thank you.
There is a quite widely held view that the origin of Shia Islam could be dated back to the events that you have just related to and discussed in your lecture. Obviously, we don't subscribe to that view. We said that Shia Islam predates even that event. Could you? I am still trying to, in my own mind, trying to struggle. You know, how can I express their opinion to my Sunnah brothers of Jesus?
Yeah, because we have mention of Shia to Ali at the time of the Prophet.
Yeah.
This is a hadith reported by both Sunnis and Shias, that Aliyun wa Shi'atuhum al-Fa'izun, Ali and his followers are Fa'izun, for example. Or in many instances, when something was mentioned, Prophet, for example, said, Ya Ali, this is about you and your Shia, for example. Now, the best thing is that why those who oppose the bay'ah of Abu Bakr. Why did they oppose this? And why they were inclined towards Ali? The reason is because they had heard from the Prophet that Ali is the wali of mu'minun after me. So when we say it predates this event, it means that those who supported Ali on that event had heard previously that Prophet had appointed Ali as wali or as khalif or whatever. So everything goes back to the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And in fact, this is why the bay'ah of Abu Bakr was a very difficult thing to pull together, because people all were had the memory of what Prophet had said about Ali, the memory of Al-Ghadir and all these things. So it was very difficult to put together. It came by force. I mean, if it was not for that reason, why should Muslimun actually pay bay'ah forcefully? They would have a consultation and they would have appointed someone and it would have gone very smoothly. Why it came, why with such hurry, why with such rush? It was because in everyone's memory, things should have gone some other direction rather than this direction.
Just a quick follow-up. I think when we talk to our Alasana brothers and sisters, when we try to relate to historical events, it becomes a question of validity and judgment. Could you identify any references to, say for example, the Quran, which is accepted by both schools, where we can identify the lineage in such a way that it was prescribed appropriately that the Shia Islam and Imam Ali would be the
But if it was as easy as that, I mean, everyone would have become a Shia. Well, I mean, our Sunni brothers and sisters, they do not follow their faith because they are arrogant or because they want to defy Allah or they want to defy Prophet. They think that way because things are confused.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make it quite clear, then no one would be confused. So. And the confusion comes from the history, from the forced hadith and all these things. And any verse of the Quran, you can interpret it in a different way. And therefore, this confusion is going to go on and on and on. However, the history that usually is mentioned and is there is not from Shi'i sources. It's all from Sunni sources. And I think the books of history are the best witness that would show the disagreement of Ali with all these things. It shows how the bay'ah was taken. It shows how some people were not satisfied. And all these things, I think history books are a very good witness for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sheikh Ibn Abdul Hadidi, regarding as a Sunni scholar, in spite of knowing all this history, why do you call him as a Sunni scholar? And does it have a different context in those days than what we mean by Sunni now?
He is a Sunni. He is a Sunni, Mu'tazili Sunni. You know, Mu'tazilis were somehow close in their theology and also in the analysis of the history to Shias. However, as I said, he has explained all these things, but he said, I do not want to judge the Sahaba and companions. And in this way, of course, he will become a Sunni. And he says that I don't say that Abu Bakr was wrong or Omar was wrong. I, of course, have criticism against Omar because of his harsh attitude, his quick temperedness and all these things. However, well, I follow the Ahl Sunnah habit in this that I do not judge, I respect all of them, I accept the Khilafah of Abu So in this way he will become a sunni.
Okay.
Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.